TV Corner.
Hey guys, welcome to the Film Core TV Core Nerd Game of Thrones podcast. We've got Greg Brecker here, and I'm Armani Barone. So HBO recently released the official season 6 trailer, and it looks like everything's going to be changing. There's going to be a huge shift in power dynamics. A lot of people are concerned because George R. Martin has not finished Winds of Winter yet. Everyone's kind of in the dark about what's going to be happening this season, and we're all kind of like on the same playing field. So that means that book readers and show watchers are, you know, now in the same place. So yeah, let's just talk about where each of the houses are now and where we think they're kind of headed based on what we kind of already know and what we've seen in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
The hottest issues is kind of like where Cersei is right now. She's kind of definitely been humbled by the walk of shame she just recently took, but I definitely don't think it's going to teach her a lesson. As you can see from the trailer, it seems to be like she's going to have another confrontation with the Faith Militant, and it's probably going to end not so well for one of the parties, I'm guessing the Faith Militant.
Yeah, I would say violently, right?
Definitely. I have a feeling that eventually Cersei's gonna have to die. I mean, as like predicted by Maggie, the frog. I don't necessarily...
The flashback, right? In season 5?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that like the prophecy was like actually true, or like that she like kind of made these things happen on her own? You know, this show has a lot of reoccurring themes, like such as like fate and like destiny, you know, and kind of like blood right and so on and so forth. So like, were these things like meant to happen to her? Were kids like meant to die? Or because she's so crazy, like, do you think these bad things keep happening?
So is it a self-fulfilling prophecy on Cersei's part? Maybe. I mean, I kind of chalk it up to karma in a way. You know, she's reaping what she sows. The sort of what I'm wondering about the show, or at least with her character for this season, is whether she takes a Jaime-like turn. Because, and I don't know about you, because Jaime was popular with the ladies, starting off, like off the bat. But everyone hated him. I mean, he threw a kid off a tower. And then he became easily one of the best characters by like season, I forget, 3, is it? When he's hanging out with Brienne. It seems, I mean, do you think Cersei's going to take the similar route? Is she gonna be kind of our hero this season?
No, like definitely not. I think like,
no,
Cersei's been given like plenty of opportunities to kind of like definitely grow and become a better person with like Joffrey dying. Now, you know, Marcella's dead and she's like gone through this whole traumatic experience. Like, she just never really quits when she's ahead for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this season we're definitely gonna get more into like her sort of like downward spiral. In the last book, we kind of get more insight into like how her mind works and how insane she really is. So I think definitely this season is when we're going to see more of that, because she's going to definitely be like on a path of revenge. She's not going to become a better character. She will love to hate her, but I don't think she's going to like turn into a good guy like Jaime kind of did.
Well, last season was kind of short on villains, so I could see it going that way pretty easily. Felt like there was a power vacuum, you know, after, what's her father's name?
Tywin.
After Tywin, yeah, was killed off.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think if she goes evil, I think this is her last season.
I mean, with that, like, also to the point of kind of circling back to the prophecy, a lot of people, you know, she feels that basically Tyrion is going to be the one to ultimately kill her. But a lot of people actually predict that it's going to be Tommen, who's the other little brother. Like Maggie doesn't specifically say whose little brother it was. And given that we were given kind of a brief little, like, showdown, what seemed to be between Tom and the Knight's Guard, the King's Guard, I'm sorry, and her and Sir Robert Strong, that there might be, like, some kind of rift between her and Tommen.
Well, that's interesting you say Tommen and not Jaime, because isn't he also her younger brother? Isn't she the eldest?
I mean, yeah, Jaime could also definitely be the person. I mean, maybe, like you said, Jaime's definitely on that hero arc right now, so maybe she tries to do something like that could kill everyone. Whether some people think it might be like another wildfire incident or something else might happen, and Jaime might feel like it's his duty to kind of just kill her to save everyone else, basically.
I'm gonna go the bold prediction here and say Jaime kills Cersei this season.
Okay,
you've kind of walked me into that, but I'm feeling pretty good about that. Just from a story sense, I think it works really well and brings Jaime back into the fold, because we kind of lost him last season.
Yeah.
He had probably the worst scene last season with the sand what are they called? The Sand Sisters
the fight? Sand or the Snakes sand, and the Martells. Yeah.
Sand Snake fight? Oh,
yeah, now that we're talking about that, that poison was super stupid. Like, I guess she, I see that she wants revenge. At the same time, like, he wanted to be in that fight with the mountain. Like, he chose to volunteer. And he died fairly, so I don't understand how it was, like, she wanted
Wait, what do you mean with the mountain? With,
Oberon Martell, you know how he fought the mountain in that trial by combat.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and so his ex-girlfriend, basically, is, like, super pissed. Is her name... Elia?
No, that's his sister. Elia's the sister. No, Elia's the sister. I'm gonna have to catch up on all the names
Everybody. Okay, her name's Ilaria.
Ilaria, okay, we weren't too far off.
Yeah, it's close. Yeah, they're pretty close in names. But, yeah, so Ilaria poisoning Jaime's daughter. It's kind of senseless. It's going to now send a super big rift between, you know, like, Dorne and King's Landing. And, really, the Lannisters don't seem to have any friends right now. Seems like every other house seems to be kind of mad at them. So, that was a move that really didn't benefit anyone. And I hopefully... we'll get to see more of the Sand Snakes and more of Dorings. I feel like we got a very shallow view into kind of like what's going on there.
That one's really interesting because there's a lot more in the books with the Sand Snakes and just Dorne and the Martells in general. And they play a much bigger role in the Targaryen plot line. I mean, they're all over the place. So I wonder if they actually just sort of phase them out, if they actually are kind of B or C characters in this, or if they're actually going to be brought back.
Originally, they wanted the Sand Snakes wanted Marcella to basically claim the throne,
right?
After like Joffrey dies, because there, you know, like women could be the rulers; they didn't have to automatically go to
right.
the next.
Now, I remember that in the books. Was that in the show as well?
No, they actually never. They never talk about that. So you might actually be right. It seems kind of like a loss. Because considering they were outpacing the book so much, it seems like I don't know why they wouldn't explore that further. I don't know if they're going to go a different direction. Maybe they feel like it kind of dead ends in the book as well. So maybe they feel like it's just not decided.
There's also not much in the trailer, as I remember. I watched it like 10 times when I realized it was out. But I think a lot of the sort of desert landscape stuff was supposed to be all around... Daenerys.
Like marine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, or in Essos. So I'm thinking we don't see as much of the Martells, but I mean it did end on that note with the poisoning. So I really don't have a hot take.
Prediction for that is we will not see them this season. We'll get like a lot of, you know, people will talk about them, but I don't think it's anything else is gonna really. It's not going to go anywhere until like next season.
Okay. So all right. We'll see. So where are we heading to next?
All right. Now that we're talking about hot places, let's go find Daenerys. So from the end of last season, we can tell she's being kind of swarmed by a Dothraki horde. So basically meeting another powerful Dothraki leader who I believe was actually Khal Drogo's last Blood Rider.
Oh, so it's like his lieutenant.
Jacko.
That sounds right.
Okay, yeah. We'll just go with that for right now. So basically, yeah. So there was three mini kind of teasers that HBO released a few months ago. And it was a man speaking in Dothraki telling Daenerys, who we assume to be Daenerys, that she's the queen of nothing. So I think she's going to be captured by the Dothraki horde. She's going to be like, hey, like, you know, I'm Daenerys. Don't you know me? Like, I'm the queen. And they're like, no, you're like really no one. I think she's going to go through like another humbling experience. I think that... Jorah, who now has grayscale, as we know, is going to have to go and maybe rescue her. I mean, I don't know how much rescuing she's going to need. I assume a dragon will come eventually to save her, but maybe somehow. I feel like this is going to be his last season as well.
He's due for a big, kind of big exit.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's definitely, it's going to be something noble, and he's definitely going to sacrifice himself for something
else. We see that she... goes to their capital with the giant horse statue. So she's going to be in the shit there, like in the thick of it. I think she turns them around.
Dothrak? Yeah, I could definitely.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, yes, she's going to get there. They're going to be like, no, you're not special. Dragon's going to come, kill some people. They'll be like, oh, wait, you're like the shit. Never mind. You can now be in charge.
And the dragon's probably bigger now. Although, so the timeline of the production of this is kind of funny because there's like a shot of Cersei who still has really short hair after her humbling. Uh-huh. But then Bran clearly looks like he's aged like 3 years. Like he's gone through puberty in the meantime.
Yeah, that's it's also hard, I think, when you're working with actors that age, because like a year can make such a huge difference in how they look, whereas like someone like Lena Headey is not gonna age, you know, she's not gonna look that much older in a year.
Well, I'm guessing, I mean, this must pick up right after the end of last season, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the dragon can't be too much bigger, which means she might have to use some other way to show them that she's strong. And so I think it'll be fun to see kind of how she does that. But I think for sure she comes back. I mean, she comes back with Dothraki horde.
Yeah. I mean, she's definitely no stranger to like Dothraki customs or ways. So she knows like what it takes to kind of show them like you're down, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going on back in Marine?
I'm actually not. I mean, we currently do not know still who's in charge of the Sons of the Harpy. There are some rumors floating around that Varys is actually might have been the catalyst to this, but I really don't think so. I think if anything, he would want Daenerys to return to power, so I don't think he'd want to put another obstacle in her way. I'm thinking that this whole like Sons of the Harpy thing is going to come to a head. We're going to figure out who's been behind it, and I think Tyrion is going to figure out a way to end the rebellion, basically.
You think he comes out the
I think Tyrion is definitely going to be the one to kind of figure out like how can we bring peace to Meereen.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I mean, like, considering what just happened, if Tyrion had not been there when Dany got like swept away, like Meereen would have been lost forever. Like that would have been the end of it. It would have fallen into complete and utter chaos. But thank goodness there's someone else who, like, you know, has ruled another area before and, like, knows, you know, how things should go. I think there's going to be some more turmoil, but I think for the most part, they're going
to... I'm really looking forward to Tyrion getting to do some ruling.
Yeah.
Easily, that was Tyrion's best season when he was actually running King's Landing.
Well, yeah, so... it's like what happened... where are the Lannisters from?
Lannisport.
Basically, when Tywin put Tyrion in charge of, like, the toilets, like, the toilets were running the best they ever ran, like, ever. So, when Tyrion has a job, he, like, is the best at it. So
he's a strategist.
Definitely. And in the trailer, he's speaking to someone saying, you've entered the most dangerous games, you know? So, it's kind of made to make it seem like he's talking to Sansa, but I don't think so. I think he's maybe warning someone else
happening. I think that was an editing trick there. Because, yeah, she's nowhere. I mean, she's way back trying to crawl through the snow. I think we'll get to her next. Do you think, and this is inside baseball, but that any of the plots from the last book are going to start coming into play here? Like with another Targaryen? Are we going to see that? Are we going to open up that Pandora's box, or is this pretty much what we have to play with?
I mean, if they're gonna bring in young Griff, like I feel like they should have done it last season. I feel like if we're gonna get a kind of a plot or like an arc that was skipped over, it'd probably be when one of the Martells comes.
Oh,
I believe,
yeah.
Quentyn Martell.
Yeah, he tries to marry Daenerys.
Yeah, he goes to marry Daenerys, but then we've never talked about him the entire show, so I don't see them bringing him in and having us care about him and having only a season to do that than like having the big ending that he had. So I also don't see that being realistic. I mean, they could maybe make it happen. I mean, if I were to pick between the two, I definitely say they'd go the young Griff route. But again, I think it'd be like young Griff showing up being like, dudes, I'm also Targaryen, where's Daenerys at? I came to come marry her and like work this out. And then they're like, oh, actually, Daenerys is missing. You just hang out here until we figure out what to do next.
I don't know about you. I started reading the books after the show came out, like a few seasons already. And that was kind of the one subplot that I thought would be really cool to have. Yeah. But, I mean, it clearly complicates things a hell of a lot. So, yeah, I think you're right. At this point... I mean, if they did that now, you're talking about adding another 3-4 seasons, which I don't think is the plan.
Yeah, it'd definitely be like we now need to get into all these characters and establish like what is going on with them, and that I just don't know if they have the time at this point to do that. It looks like as far as they've chosen to go. I mean, certainly if they had gone a different route this season, and as we've seen, maybe focused more on the Greyjoys and like what's going on in the Iron Islands, and then brought in young Griff, that could have worked. But it seems like they're kind of moving at a pace that just doesn't seem realistic with that. I don't know. I guess we'll see. But I didn't. We didn't see young Griff or anything that kind of hinted towards that in the trailers.
No, no. You know, I only thought of it when you brought up that maybe Varys might have something to do with the Sons of the Harpy. But I think maybe. I think they're going to start simplifying rather than complicating going forward, and we're going to see. We're going to see storylines sort of. You know, the last couple of seasons we've seen people spreading out, and I think now we start seeing the knots sort of tied up. Which kind of brings the question of the Starks and where you think they're going. Because we started with them as our heroes.
What I think is so interesting is how everyone's like, all the Starks are dead. And technically, like, none of them, only, like, really one Stark is dead so far. And that's Rob. I mean, technically, Jon isn't a Stark, slash might probably, slash might not be dead. So all the Starks are still alive. They're just kind of scattered. As we can see, Sansa and Reek slash
The Stark kids, though. I mean, the parents got
Well, offed. Yeah, the parents offed are gone. Hard. Which, they're gone. But, I mean, the kids, like, are very well much alive. And that's a big part of the Stark line. Mm-hmm. Where we are in the trailer, we see that Sansa and Reek obviously survived the fall. Sansa appears obviously concerned, but cleaned up. You know, she looks to be in a safe place. So I'm assuming that maybe when they jump, they get out there, Brienne somehow runs into them, and then
you think she connects with Brienne? Okay.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I believe that Stannis Baratheon is dead yet. I won't believe it until I see like a body, because I feel like in his last words he said do your duty. So, and that was while the candle was still lit in the tower. So she could have just glanced over really quick, saw the light, and was like, oh crap, never mind. I need to go do this immediately. Versus kill you. So we'll see. I mean, I supported Stannis' claim to the throne. Still do, but he might definitely be dead. But I think Brienne is definitely going to save Stannis. Okay.
Wait, I have to ask why you support Stannis.
Because he was next in line. He was the oldest. He held down Dragonstone. Like, the only reason he had to stay there is because, like, he barely missed the Targaryens after he, like, held on that siege in the Stormlands. Then went to Dragonstone. Then Robert was pissed because, like, oh, you didn't catch the Targaryens. Now you get to stay on this sucky island. Come on. Like, Stannis is like...
So you think he got... Yeah, you think he got dicked a little bit.
Renly, although he did kill Renly, Renly really had no claim and just should have just, like, taken a backseat and just, like, lived out his life. Like, he really was not fit to rule. He had no claim. It was just ridiculous.
What do you think of the whole Melisandre complication then?
So, Melisandre is in a very awkward position because no one is on her side at this point. Now that Stannis is gone, everyone's really going to blame her for really pushing him to basically attack Winterfell. But as we can see in the trailer, she returns to Night's... We know that she returns to Night's Watch in the last episode. And in the trailer, we see her apparently talking in what we think is where Jon's body is. And she also begins to undress. And when she undresses, we kind of like know that's like when the magic's about to happen. So I'm assuming that she's going to bring Jon Snow back. That's like I think most people's like really big prediction for this season is that Melisandre's going to bring Jon Snow back.
That would make the most sense. I've heard a couple times that maybe he comes back as a wolf, which I mean, I'm officially going to stop watching the show if that's the case.
If he like,
I'm not into that. Yeah, I'm not into that. I'm not into watching a wolf. I don't know if it's going to be voiceover or, I mean, Jesus. What a horrible turn.
I think it'd be a lot of intense staring from the wolf.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't think they're going to go that direction. I really think that she's going to resurrect him. And I think that, as mentioned before, I can't remember who the guy that the Hound fought with Arya. He was also brought back to life by another red priest.
Oh, Dondarrion.
Yes, yes. So Eric, he mentioned Dondarrion, that like every time he comes back, something's missing or something's kind of like, you feel dead, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's going to be the same with Jon. Like Jon Snow, the character will be dead. His body will be alive, but I think he'll definitely be changed. And this kind of leads us also back and around like back to the Boltons, is they leave out kind of a crucial plot device in the books, which is the pink letter. So I think that Melisandre is going to resurrect Jon. They're going to get the pink letter. Ramsay's going to be like, I need Sansa Stark back. Like, where's Reek? I have Winterfell. Basically, you know, he's going to taunt Jon. Jon, having been technically dead, is no longer bound to the Night's Watch. So at that point, he's free to go kind of like avenge his family. And I feel like Ser Davos is going to follow him to Winterfell.
Right. It's funny because it's sort of the worst kept secret that Jon Snow is going to live. Kit Harington has been seen on set. It would be horrible storytelling to just get rid of him. It'd be like hitting a reset button. He's coming back. I'll be stunned if that's not the case. But I didn't consider that, of course, he cannot be with the Night's Watch after. He's got to find something new to do.
And also, yeah, Sansa being out there, she's discovered by Brienne and brought to another, like, northern family. And she tells them what happened. They're going to be furious. No one likes the Boltons anyway. Like, everyone hates them. So the second they have a reason to go out there and fight and retake Winterfell, they're definitely going to do it. Jon is going to have the backing of the wildlings. He's probably going to be like, listen, we got to go retake this land because, like, you guys owe me one. And Sansa's going to have other northern families fighting for her. So both Stark/Stark Snow sides are going to go for Winterfell.
I like that. I mean, we did see Tormund Giantsbane hacking away at people, as he does. So there's certainly going to be wildling fighting. It's one of his favorite things, yeah. And I like that. I like that a lot. So you're kind of expecting some justice after the
two seasons
of Bolton torture.
Yeah, I mean, like, last season, I was like, oh my god, okay, we get it, we hate Ramsay. Like, I don't need to hate him anymore.
Where did, we had that really sort of infamous rape of Sansa that got everyone upset. So, I think, it's kind of about time for something to happen here.
I think definitely we're going to get, like, our much-needed Bolton death therapy session.
You think Ramsay goes? Or sorry, not Ramsay. Roose goes with that too.
He's
kind of, you know, he's like a spider. I mean, he doesn't.
I definitely think Ramsay's gonna kill Fat Walda baby, and maybe also kill his. I don't put it past Ramsay to kill Roose Bolton. I mean, Roose Bolton raped Ramsay's mother, like, after he killed her husband, and like that's how Ramsay has come into the world, like, out of a super terrible situation. So I don't...
Sort of a Bolton tradition.
Yeah, Bolton tradition. Yeah, basically. It only seemed fitting. So I definitely... My big prediction is Ramsay kills his dad, kills Fat Walda, then a Stark is going to kill Ramsay.
So the one guy that we kind of haven't hit on in that space is Theon. I think he survives. He's in the trailer. So he must be with Sansa, and he must... I assume he comes back. He becomes the guy that he was earlier on.
I don't think that Theon is ever gonna, like, make it back to, like, the Iron Islands or be reunited with his family. I think my prediction is that, like, he's going to live through the fall, maybe help Sansa get to safety, and then either be captured. We kind of see him being attacked by another northern man. We can assume it's, like, maybe a Bolton soldier. And then we kind of see for a second, like, someone else attacking this soldier. So I think that's Brienne. So I think that Theon's going to get captured / killed maybe, or tortured for Sansa's location. And Sansa is saved by Brienne. So I don't think Theon's going to make it through this season. Like, I definitely think within the first, like, three episodes or so, he's going
to
die.
He kind of got his moment already. So it would make sense, I think, to kill him off, maybe give him something heroic to do. But he kind of had his moment, his redemption. So yeah, I've been out on Theon for the last two seasons because there's only so much dismemberment and torture you can watch of a character. So I'd be happy to put an end on that book. But that sort of brings us over to his family, his sister Aya. Aya? I think it's Aya.
It's Yara. And then they change it to Asha. Or wait, no, actually, it's Asha in the books, and they change it to Yara in the show.
Oh, that's right.
Which I don't... Maybe they thought it would be too confusing.
From Asha to Yara, or from Yara to Asha?
So it's Yara in the books. It's Asha on the show.
Okay, that makes sense. To not confuse Arya with Yara. I guess. Okay, I see what they were doing there. She is making out with a chick in it.
Which I was kind of torn about, by the way. I was like, just because you're a badass woman does not make you automatically a lesbian. Not against that. I'm like, you know, like, I'm just saying, like, I don't want to, you know, force anyone into that stereotypical, like, butch lesbian character. Mm-hmm. But it's totally, you know.
Yeah, and it's not in the books, so that's definitely a choice that the filmmakers made. So it's there's some possibly poor gender politics going on there.
We also see that Euron Greyjoy is going to be in this next season. So we're probably going to have that King Smoot. One of the big kind of reveals is that he has a horn that he feels like can control dragons.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I was confusing it with the horn that can bring down the wall. But that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. So the King's Smoot is when all the Iron Islands choose the one of their own to be their leader. Yeah, in the books, it happens. It's kind of a big part. And what's kind of interesting about it is it has to do with a whole other subplot that I don't think they're going to explore here. So I'm curious where they take it, because I don't think they're going to have one of the brothers swimming over to Essos and trying to marry Daenerys.
I don't think they're going to go that route either. I think that in the King's Smoot, maybe they won't have Yara / Asha fight it so much, because she, you know, really wanted to be a big contender, and immediately they're kind of like, no, we want, like, we're pushing for Euron here. So we'll see. I feel like that's going to be the big reveal is going to be like the horn, and then, but the actual like King's Smoot itself, I think, is not going to be like as big as it was made out in the books.
Yeah, they're going to have to tie them in somehow, because there'd be no point to just have them sort of floating around. But I think it's going to be totally out of left field.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think that's an easy one to predict.
Going with some people in left field, talked about Bran a little bit. Now he's getting his Jedi training with the Three-Eyed Raven. So where do you think Bran's going to fit into the story next season?
This is sort of the bigger overarching possibly problem with the show. All the stuff going on with Daenerys and all the kingdoms becomes immediately pointless when we're talking about what's happening beyond the wall and the Night's King. It's going to completely shift sort of the onus of the show.
Which I actually, to that point, I actually love the fact that, like, it kind of puts a mirror back into what's going on in our lives. The whole fact that, like, problems can seem so serious that are, like, so, you know, near to you. But when you look at the bigger picture of things, like, it really does not matter when you have, like, an entire army of, like, undead headed south.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's certainly compelling, but there's something, it's, you know, we'll see whether it actually plays out for good storytelling. Because the one thing that you have to have is stakes. And if you take those away, you know, do you leave satisfied viewers, right? And up to this point, I mean, the big reveal last season when we met the Night's King was pretty huge. But it was really hard to kind of go back to just the day-to-day of the rest of the world
after that. Yeah, that's definitely true. Like, knowing that ultimate evil is kind of out there is kind of hard to take Cersei's walk as seriously when you, like, say there's, like, way bigger things happening. And we can see Bran is also going to see the Night's King for the first time. And I'm assuming it's going to be, like, in some sort of vision because he's standing. So I think he's going to get, you know, developing the sight with the Three-Eyed Raven. He's definitely going to see, I think, what happens in the Tower of Joy the night, you know, the day that Ned Stark goes and his sister dies. So we'll definitely see, like, you know, if that is really, you know, who Jon's mother is. So I think this season is definitely going to be a lot. We're going to get a lot of answers to a lot of questions that we've had this entire series, which I think is going to be cool.
I'm going to give you my hot take on Bran. But you just brought up Jon's parents, and so you think we're going to figure out who they are?
Oh yeah, I think definitely. We waited like
that he's a Targaryen, that the secret of the show is that Jon's parents are actually who he thinks is his aunt, his dead aunt.
Yeah, Lyanna and Rhaegar, basically.
Like, and Rhaegar Targaryen, right.
Yeah, I definitely think we're going to find out, and this is my big prediction for the series in general, is that Lyanna Stark was not kidnapped by Rhaegar. She was totally down to go with him. They knew it was going to start some drama. I think she had Jon, you know, and it put her in a weird place with Robert Baratheon, and she ultimately, like, dies, you know, in childbirth. And I think that we're going to find out that basically the entire shifting of power that happened was almost unnecessary, which I think is, like, so interesting to consider that, like, one action can cause this whole domino effect of other events to happen later on.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's totally in line with the show, right? With how it starts. With Ned Stark becoming the Hand of the King because the last Hand of the King was actually poisoned. And that brings back, I think we'll leave this character to the next one, but you know, Littlefinger is sort of lurking.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Behind all these characters that we're talking about. But he's sort of taken a back step, which usually means that he's got something planned. So I'm sure that's going to tie in somehow. What I wanted to say about Bran, though, is in the 2 seconds that we see him standing with the Night's King, I got the sense that the Night's King sees him as well.
You think so? Yeah, I don't think maybe sees him, but definitely sensed like, oh shit, this is someone else who is powerful.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he starts coming for Bran. I think he feels that there's something going on here. Obviously, for those who don't know, the story of the Night's King is that he is possibly a former Stark. So maybe there's some sort of a blood connection there. He can feel a descendant, who knows? There is certainly some sort of connection between him and Jon Snow in the last season. Yeah. But unclear whether, you know, he was surprised by just a human being able to kill one of his guys or not. But I feel like we're going to find out that Bran has something special.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, we know he does, but I think we find the true nature of it. You know, like he's sort of our secret Luke Skywalker.
Okay, yeah, right on. I really like that. So wrapping things up, give me the people you think will come out, the person you think will come out on top this season, and who you think is going to die this season.
Oof. Okay. I think, so like my MVP of the season, I think is going to be, I'm going to go with Jaime.
Okay.
I think he's going to sort of put things in order back home. Basically, you know, I think we're heading towards everyone kind of uniting against the Night's Watch. I think it all sort of goes that way. It might be too neat, but I think we're going to start seeing people individually, sort of the good characters starting to come up on top. So Jaime, Jon, Bran on sort of the mystical side of things. I think Tyrion gets his for sort of taking care of Daenerys and making sure that that the army in Essos makes it over. I just got a feeling that it might not be all of this season, but I think we start seeing the escalation of that.
Okay, right on.
And then I think, you know, by that same prediction, right, then that means certain people have to die. So I like your thinking about Ramsay. I think he's done. Just even from like a publicity thing, you know, like for PR, this show should really kill him off.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know how many articles I read about whether the scene with him raping Sansa was okay or not. It turned off a lot of people from the show.
Yeah, I know. Actually know quite a few people who were like, I'm done with the show because of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think they're going to try and undo the damage a little bit. So Ramsay for sure is gone. I don't know if Cersei dies, although if it's at Jaime's hand, then she's gone, you know. If it pits them against each other in the first couple episodes, I think she's out. I think she's gone.
Okay, right on. Rise to power, I definitely think Sansa's gonna end up like on top this season.
Oh, that's a really good
one. It's really about time she you know, things turn around for her. I think that
she's been through a lot.
Yeah, I think they're gonna take over Winterfell, and she's gonna become the ruling Stark of Winterfell, and then maybe it might be Littlefinger who wants to kind of like marry Sansa and then unite the Vale, which is still a very powerful place. Or I mean, it'll be another worthy house, but I think Sansa's definitely going back to Winterfell as a victor, as the basically the one in power. Ramsay dead. Melisandre. I think she's gonna die this season. I'm just gonna put that out.
Oh, really?
I think either she's gonna die bringing Jon Snow back, or at the hands of Ser Davos.
If she dies, I think she still gets redeemed, because she seemed legitimately messed up about what happened at Winterfell and the fact that Stannis' army didn't win. So I think she gets humbled, but maybe she pays for her sins.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think Ser Jorah is going to die. Cersei, I don't think she's going to die this season. Maybe. Okay, I feel like I can't just straddle the fence here. Okay, Cersei's going to die this season. I'm going to just stick by that prediction right now. Dany, I think, is finally going to make it to the what? Like, finally going to cross the sea.
Ooh, that might be the end of the season. Like, I could see them doing something with the dragon's feet landing in Westeros or something like that, you know?
Yeah, it definitely sounds, I don't think that she'll get there anytime soon, but I think, yeah, like you mentioned, at the very end, they'll be like, okay, finally, going to get her to attempt to take over this place. And I think then simultaneously White Walkers are going to come and be a bigger issue.
Oh, man. But, you know, even, like, you can still have a lot of internal, because We like a lot of characters now who have never had to deal with each other. But the second you put certain people together, right, you're going to have a whole new series of conflicts that are going to start pitting not clear villains versus heroes, but heroes versus other heroes.
Well, I think that's similar to the whole Brienne and the Hound fight that we had. I think no one knew who to root for. You were just like really torn about like, I don't want anyone to get hurt in the situation, but someone has to win, someone has to lose. That's like, you know, that's the game.
I would love for the Hound to come back. I'm not counting it out, but you know.
Well, a lot of people want to get that Clegane Bowl, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's right. If the Mountain can come back, why can't Sandor?
Well, hey guys, that's it for our Game of Thrones podcast. We'll definitely be doing more of these when the new season starts, probably the Monday after. Or if you have any like other theories you want to share, that'd be awesome. You can just share it on the Film Core website or on the Facebook post. We're probably going to have this all over.
TV Corner.